You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores. I'm here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett.
Yeah, didn't replace me last week.
You know, we let Brian back in the room. I think Peter and I permanently scared Kaylee off from the podcast world, so she's probably never going to return.
It's a skill we offer. You have somebody on your podcast that you really wouldn't want to
right. So invite us. If you have someone in your office right now who's like, yeah, I want to speak to everyone. I want to talk, send them over and...
We'll berate them.
We'll turn them around and send them back to you, and you won't have to worry about that ever again. They'll be terrified.
We did go off on a few tangents. I felt bad. We needed to allow Kaylee to... talk about her expertise, so we'll have to get her back in
here. Just so everyone knows, Kaylee's educated, she's very smart, she's like on top of her game. We just didn't get to really cover that because we wanted to talk about nonsense.
Thanksgiving sides,
Thanksgiving sides, yeah, which we didn't get to talk about with Brian. So we talked about, the best Thanksgiving sides, and then we had a pretty heated debate on stuffing.
So I've not listened to your alls yet, but deviled eggs are my favorite Thanksgiving side.
Man, deviled eggs are great.
Those didn't come up.
No, they didn't. What did we talked about stuffing and dressing.
Right.
Well, which that got heated
a little bit. Quick.
Peter has very strong opinions on stuffing and dressing.
I like dressing. Is that wrong, Peter?
No, I'm fine with you liking dressing.
Just be quiet about it.
No, call it dressing. Don't call what you put on the stovetop stuffing.
Yeah. That's fair.
You get that. You stuff a bird, you have dressing, or I think I called it bread casserole.
Bread casserole.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a side that you eat with it.
He was essentially to the point of saying, call it anything other than that.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
So deviled eggs.
Yeah, deviled eggs.
Those are good.
Now, Kaylee and I did agree on canned cranberry being up there.
It's
up
there. Dear Lord, no.
I like it. Now, it's not appealing when it, flops out of the can.
Well, that's the best part.
If you don't watch that part, it's fine.
It's kind of like me taking my shirt off and just flops out.
Bust a can of biscuits.
So I guess I don't know. Am I in the minority here with the cranberry sauce?
I think it's one of those things
with this group. Yes,
yeah, maybe.
Wow. But maybe not like a.
I never know because so many of my things come from my parents being from New York. I like unsweet tea with no sweetener in it, which for this area is people don't know that exists.
Do you want to feel like even more of an outsider? Tell them you don't like tea, period. Because I don't. And everyone's like, really?
See, I just learned that's how you order sweet tea, hold the sugar. Yeah, it's unsweet tea. Okay, unsweet gotcha. Tea. Yeah, I didn't know that existed. Why would they even make that?
Yeah.
I always think that tea tastes like dishwater. Not that I've tasted dishwater. I just feel like it's what dishwater would taste like, is tea.
I like tea.
I like tea pretty good.
Anyways. Yeah. So deviled eggs, what would be your second, other than cranberry sauce? Let's not go down that road again.
Macaroni and cheese, yes, potatoes.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
Deviled eggs made with mayonnaise or with mustard?
Mayonnaise and pickle juice.
Okay. Paprika on top?
Mustard and pickle juice. I'm sorry. Mustard, pickle juice, some paprika. Yeah, sure. Get liver, take it.
Yeah. See, I'm anti-mustard in deviled eggs. I like mayonnaise and celery salt.
Hmm. I love mustard, though. Mustard just goes with everything.
I think that...
Said no one. You're fired.
I love mustard.
I feel like there was an episode we did last year where we talked about mustard, and I think Peter was talking about how mustard doesn't expire. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it doesn't.
It just... And I even told my child that we'll have yellow, like old school yellow mustard in the refrigerator from like last year. And I'm like, it's fine.
It's fine.
So like no mustard, not even like Grey Poupon.
Well, I didn't say that. I don't know about that. But the stuff in the yellow bottle doesn't expire.
Okay.
We need to do some kind of like discretion with this in case someone dies from yellow mustard.
Viewer discretion is advised.
There is no truth behind this. This is just an opinion. So don't go home and thinking you can just, you know, gulp down your 2-year-old yellow mustard, because I don't know what'll happen.
We don't know. So. And if you do decide to do that, let us know what happens.
Still, the best use of mustard is to just throw it at Lane Kiffin at a UT football game.
Oh, Lane. I love Lane. I'm on the Lane train forever. I'm still a Lane Kiffin fan. I know Brian doesn't even probably know who that is, so it's fine. We can move on.
He sounds cool. Yeah.
He's cool. He comes from a long line of family football, and he's a football coach. He's now at Ole Miss, but he did a stint at Tennessee and did a stint in the NFL for a little bit, and let's see.
He left Tennessee after 1 year, and he was supposed to be our savior as a coach. And then we were cursed with horrible coaches up until Josh Heupel, who knows after this year. But we'll see where we go.
Anyways.
But, yeah, there were mattresses burned in Knoxville and all sorts of things.
Brian, aren't you glad you're back? Football, football.
You know, I go on vacation for a week. And, yeah, Josh referred to me as like a house cat when I'm on vacation.
I did. But that's not an insult.
No.
You would appreciate that.
We had somebody drop something off for us while I was on vacation, and then he texted us about it, and Josh replies to him the next day saying not to expect a reply from me.
Brian just... I don't know what world or orbit Brian goes into on vacation, but he is MIA.
Keeps rolling into the new sunlight as it comes through the window.
That's right. Well, we've reached the end of November. December's coming up. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I guess that we're just going to talk about Christmas from here on out.
So what you do after Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for the holidays. You know, this is a tough time of the year for my allergies. So if I sound a little nasally and drainy, I apologize. Maybe I'll try to do some fancy editing and edit that out.
Nah, that would require us doing fancy editing.
But you might just get what you get. Also, I am triple fisting this morning.
Yeah, he's got a Pepsi, a Yoo-Hoo, and what's in the other cup?
This is coffee.
Just coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to make sure all of our sponsors were recognized. So thank you, Yoo-Hoo and Pepsi and... whoever makes this peppermint coffee, it's really good.
We now have the Keurig machine out and available for everybody. So
we do.
It's been used heavily.
It has.
Please come have coffee with us if you're listening.
Just don't make me. I will say that Kaylee made fun of Josh for drinking Yoo-Hoo out of a can. That should come out of a bottle.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
And I don't think that the Yoo-Hoo out of the can's bad.
It's not bad, but it's not
the best. It does taste better out of
It's not the best. But no, it was on sale, and it's quick, and it's easy. And also, look, Brian, where does it say it right here? Look, good source of vitamins.
Just all of them.
You didn't know that, did you?
All of the vitamins.
They take all of the vitamins and put them in this Yoo-Hoo, and then when you shake it, that's going to sound awful. It's
the vitamins all combined and stuff.
Chocolate drink.
By the power of these vitamins combined, I am Captain Yoo-Hoo. Brian won't get the reference to the 80s cartoon that I was talking about.
I know Captain Planet.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I know Captain Planet. He's my hero.
Taking pollution down to zero.
I was never a big Captain. I mean, he's okay, but I do remember that song, but he was not in my top tier of
now. Was that before
superheroes.
Pollution was like a political issue?
Yeah, it had to be, right?
Yeah, because it seemed pretty mainstream. Like, I feel like there would be a revolution or something if you put that on a kid's show now.
I feel
it
like,
was a catchy theme song.
Yeah,
it was
catchy. I feel like Captain. I almost said Captain America.
Hey, those were cartoons back in the
80s. I feel like Captain Planet would thrive right now because everyone hates pollution.
That's
and
true.
And wastefulness and just anything. So
it was a good show. Yeah.
Mm.
I just don't know where you get those rings to where we can summon him. But
eBay.
They weren't on Black Friday.
eBay or Amazon.
There you go.
We'll 3D print our own. Yeah.
So did you guys do any Black Friday shopping?
No, I did Cyber Monday. Mm. What about you, Will?
I did a little shopping for the office. We still need a few things. So there was things that had been on the list that I knew would go on sale. Like, we need a TV in this room, and we needed some storage things for the bathroom, stuff like that.
I was going to do Cyber Monday. I had intentions of doing Cyber Monday, and then I just instead drove my truck through a telephone pole. So I didn't get to do very much Cyber Monday, but it's all good. What did you buy, Brian?
Well, we're doing a Christmas thing here at the office for the first time since I've been here. So I got my gift for my person.
Oh, but you're not supposed to tell who it is.
I'm not supposed to tell who it is.
Mm.
But they're going to hate it. And...
It's really awful.
It's really awful.
I got mine yesterday. I think it's hilarious. So I'm pleased with that.
So you all have already got your gifts for the office party.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you know who you have? We just put the sheet of paper on your
I do
desk.
Know who I have.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
I do know who I have. I have yet to get that person a gift.
You were on your way when...
But I will. I'll get one, and it'll be great. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but it'll be great.
See, I'm fine with doing what we're doing now. I am always a little partial to white elephant Christmas party type things, because the mayhem that can ensue is just my favorite thing.
I just feel like it's mean. It's like someone gets something they like, and I'm like, I'm going to take that away from you. And I'd feel awful unless it was Josh.
I feel like I'm starting to get them all confused, because I feel like you've got people refer to there's like white elephant, and then I feel like there's dirty Santa, and then there's secret Santa, and then all these, are they all kind of the same?
So I guess what we would be doing would be considered secret Santa.
Because
we're assigned one person, and it's a secret until that person gets the gift. The white elephant is the one where everybody gets a random gift. You put it in the middle, somebody goes first, and then the next person can steal anybody in front of
theirs.
That's right.
That's
so
okay.
So if we do that, can you please do what like Michael Scott did in The Office and just get like a really like $200 gift that everybody fights over, and you're like, there was a $25 limit.
He's like, yeah, that's an iPad.
It's an iPad.
I remember, was it an iPad or was it, iPod?
An iPod or iPad, and everybody wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they were like, Michael, there was a $20 limit. And he's like, well, 'tis the season.
It's one of my favorite
It must have been an iPod, because, you know, remember the famous episode where he pulls the plasma TV off the wall, and it's like a 20-inch like plasma TV.
And if you need more room, you just push it back.
And then Jan throws her candle in and busts it all up. And he's like, that's a $200 plasma screen.
If we just ruined an episode of The Office for you, we're not sorry. You should have seen it by now.
And he's like, how are you going to repay me for that with your $0 a month salary, babe?
It's a good show.
It's a hilarious show.
Okay, we've literally spent like 12 minutes of just nonsense.
Yeah, we should probably talk about Charlie Munger.
Well, I'm in
solid transition.
Solid transition. Happy, sad.
Yeah, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think it this was one of my vacation days. Was it Monday that he passed away?
Tuesday.
Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way, because I know it's going to come up. I don't know this gentleman, nor did I know this gentleman. But we have a lunch and learn coming up the first of the year, and Peter messaged me yesterday. We were working on a couple of things, and he said,
"This is so good."
And within our newsletter, where we were talking about the lunch and learn for people to RSVP, you know, Peter had mentioned kind of a year in review of, you know, losing some folks, yada yada. Anyways,
it's been a bad year for it,
right? Well, he messaged me yesterday evening saying that, hey, we need to add Charlie, what was it, Munger?
Yeah, Charlie Munger.
He said, we need to add Charlie Munger to the list. That's it. I was like, okay, done. So I went to my RSVP list of our lunch and learn, and I typed in Charlie Munger, and I didn't know who he was, so I was like, he's probably a client. So I just put it in. And then I realized after more conversation, that was really wrong. And now I find out who he was, and I'm really embarrassed, but I know it's...
So we might get a really good turnout for this first Lunch and Learn.
If Charlie Munger comes to the Lunch and Learn...
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, he would have turned 100 on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, wow. So he was...
He was up there.
Yeah, he was up there.
And he was still actively managing... He was Warren Buffett's partner.
Okay.
At Berkshire Hathaway, worth like $2.5-3 billion, yeah, somewhere in there.
2.4 to 2.9. I looked it up today.
So yeah. I know who Warren Buffett is.
Yeah.
How do I not know who this other guy is?
He doesn't go on camera near as much. Okay. He doesn't have the personality that Warren did.
But if you can handle a dry lecture, he's amazingly smart.
You lost me. A dry lecture.
That is why you don't
That is why you don't know Charlie Munger.
You know, he didn't have the personality that Warren did. He didn't drink like the cherry Cokes and
Warren's got that charisma him, and he's just off enough to be interesting.
Yeah.
Right. He's a couple years older than Warren. And this has been a big thing in the markets for the last probably 10 years, is what happens to Berkshire Hathaway when the most famous investor of all time eventually passes away. And Warren's 96, 97.
I was going to say, yeah, he's getting up there. But he still seems to me to be very functional.
And very involved in the actual management. And Charlie Munger was right there with him. So they've been naming the successors over time. And it was actually interesting. I was wondering if Berkshire would sell off when Charlie died. And it didn't. And that's the big concern, is when Berkshire Hathaway... Or when Warren dies, does Berkshire Hathaway drop 20%?
And it's how much trust you have in their system.
Right.
And you have to figure they've been planning on this probably for decades. I mean,
But there's some premium there.
Right.
Anytime you have a high profile CEO, whether it's Steve Jobs,
Elon Musk,
Jamie Dimon, Warren Buffett, when those people, you know, leave the company for some reason, you normally see some level of sell-off.
I do think it speaks, you know, to the company that if people just stay calm and stay put, you know, it really kind of speaks to kind of the culture and what's going on within that company.
Yeah. I mean, Berkshire's down 0.67 over the last week.
I mean, Peter,
0.67%.
We kind of dealt with that a little bit on a local level with, you know, with your dad and
his
passing with, you know, the company and everything. It's a, when someone who's so predominant in a role passes on, I think panic is the first initial.
Especially when the business, like with Don and even with Warren Buffett, when the company is an extension of them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, dad was obviously for me personally harder, but because of the earliness of it with him having cancer and passing away at 76, when you're 99, you know it's coming at some point.
Yeah.
You know, so there has been, as you said, a lot of time to plan for that. But yeah, anytime you have something like that, it creates uncertainty. And it was one of the reasons why, you know, I've told the story, you know, probably countless times at this point, you know. It's why we're in our building now, is dad didn't know. So he got an insurance policy. Hey, if all the clients leave, I want to make sure that employees are taken care of and can make payroll. And then when we were very blessed with the support of our you know, clients and our families and our community that lifted us up, we were able to use those funds to build this building. So, but going into it, you're like, let's hold our breath.
Yeah.
who knows?
Hmm. Yeah. It was... It's a little bit of a, you know, there's some awkward time there in between where you don't know how people are going to react.
Right. And I've given up trying to predict it too, because yeah. there's certain people that you're like, wow, they were super supportive and I thought they would be out the door the second I called them. And then you have other people who are like, okay, I was only here for your dad. And you're like, oh, we, like, I've known you since I was two.
Yeah. Thing. It's going to feel weird not talking to you all the time. But
everybody's got to make their own choice.
And absolutely. That's
fine. Well, so with the passing of Charlie Munger, what does that look like for them now? Are they going to try to, from within, kind of roll someone into that position? Or are they going to, is this a chance for them to maybe try some new things, to think outside the box? Or
so they've made it very public over the last, especially over the last 3 or 4 years, who the successors will be. And they've named them. But I don't know that you still don't see those people in the media. It's still Warren Buffett's yeah. show. So I do think that for them, and with how big Berkshire Hathaway is, and a lot of people consider Berkshire Hathaway, even though it's one company, it's basically a mutual fund right. because they own so many companies.
I was going to say, I hear of them in so many different yeah. aspects. Like, I hear of them in the kind of the real estate world.
If you want
world
to,
and
anybody, this is Josh, anybody on there, look up Berkshire Hathaway on Yahoo Finance and read their description. They are in everything from Apple to railroads to small candy in India. Like, literally.
They own See's Candy, which yeah. is unbelievably good candy. We used to have a client, and he's since passed, Jack King, who okay. I loved dearly. He used to bring us See's Candy every year at Christmas, along with some hilariously inappropriate Christmas card. He was one of those first people that, like, I thought of as being super cool, because he was like, he was older than Dad. And he still had that sense of humor, and nobody in the finance world no. or in, you know, those people that I kind of looked up to as the elders of the community, none of them were funny. You know, they were very serious, stern. Maybe they were, but to a young boy,
their wives would know. Yeah, and that's it. Yeah.
But like, they were not, and Dad wasn't a funny guy, but he would laugh at the cards that Jack gave him. So, you know, but See's Candy was one of those,
I'll and have to look that up.
I think they actually own the Bristol Herald Courier is think, under the yeah. Berkshire Hathaway newspaper
but that's
wing.
The thing is, I think after Warren's gone, it's not there's not going to be another superstar that steps up into the spotlight for it. I think it's just the investment strategy that Warren set up that's going to keep going. It's the value investing in having to do with that free cash flow and all
so
of that.
So neither one of you guys are going to try to step up and throw your name in the hat for Berkshire.
I mean, I'm already there. No. There's not even another person that you see on TV. Like, they'll come and go. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be the Bill Ackmans of the world, yeah. or it'll be the Muhammad Al-Arians, or all these people that you'll see on CNBC or Bloomberg or whoever. But nobody has lasted. You know, they'll come and go in their popularity and their strategy. But Warren's strategy is one that has worked for a very, very long yeah. time.
Well, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he's also super respected among a very diverse group of people. I mean, is that, am I way off base no. with that? I mean, usually when you get into especially anything involving money, investments, things like that, everyone's got their own opinion of, you know, the best way to do it. But he seems to have this very, like, calming kind of spirit about him where it's almost like he rallies everyone together in some way, shape,
he's
or form.
That he's very rational mm-hmm. and he's very, like you were saying, very calm right. in the way he speaks too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and he's relatable.
Yeah.
You know, so he isn't as stuffy as some of these other people.
It's hard to have that much money and be relatable to your average
exactly.
person.
You know, he speaks at not college and campuses. He does an annual letter, which you get access to Warren that you don't. Mm-hmm. And I think you could make a very strong argument that Warren was one of five or six factors that saved our economy in the 08 debacle, because banks went to Warren. Like, he plugged his, you know, Berkshire's money into the system to help stabilize it. And there are very few people throughout history who had enough money to do that. The mm-hmm. original J.P. Morgan, same type thing. Mm-hmm. But like Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, they went to Warren to raise money. They didn't go to, I mean, they got money from the U.S. government.
Right.
But, and he made a ton of money on that.
Yeah.
And has always been very rational. I think one of the things that people relate to with Warren is he's willing to call some of these things, all these fad investments, fads.
Yeah.
And he's very much a fundamental value, simple, understandable investment approach.
And understanding what he's investing in. That right. was the big Bitcoin thing. He said Bitcoin may be the best thing ever. He didn't understand it. He wasn't investing in it.
Right.
And that's a solid advice. Yeah, yeah.
With a lot of the fancy hedge funds and things, he was like, and he put his money where his mouthpiece. It was like, look, we'll put $1 million in the S&P 500. You do $1 million in yours, and we'll see who's better off in 10 years. And he's going to win by a landslide. it's been unbelievable how much he's going to win by.
So what, Berkshire Hathaway, as a last time I looked, makes up what, close to 2% of the entire S&P 500.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not talking, I mean, we're talking a huge company.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And half of it's Apple.
Yeah.
At this point, which is really weird.
Which makes Apple about 8% of the S&P 500.
Brian, you had sent over something to me that I thought was really interesting. We're talking about annual giving, how 30% of that actually happens in December.
Yeah.
Which is, that's really encouraging. I wish it was spread out a little more, but.
And so do the charities.
Yeah. Yeah. You also told me that 10% of those annual donations come the last 3 days of the year.
Yeah. So like when I originally read that, you know, 30% being in December, my mind automatically went to, hey, people are giving for the holidays.
That's where I went.
And then I read the 10% on the last 3 days and I was like, oh, never mind. It has to do with taxes.
Yep.
Taxes for sure.
Way to ruin it.
Yeah, and so the fact that people are lazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too. Yeah.
So how would that, you know, for people who are listening, and either one of you all can speak to this, but with that 10% coming in the last 3 days, what are some of the advantages or the reasons people do that?
You have to get it done in this year for it to count on this year's tax return.
Right. For charitable donations.
Right. So unlike, there's certain IRA contributions that can actually happen into the next year that count for this year. And there's a few things that can retroactively happen. But for a Schedule A itemized deduction to happen, it has to be in this year. And so what happens is a lot of people wait. And for our clients, please don't wait because Schwab goes a lot slower than TD did at this point. So don't wait. Chastity really, really doesn't want you to wait. But it's one of those things. A lot of times people don't know how much they're going to have to give.
Right.
So they'll wait all year, kind of see what's left over. Okay, well, I'll make this type of charitable contribution. Or they won't know what income they will have had for the year. And so it happens right here at the end. It's also a big push season. I mean, charities have gotten used to this, so they're trying to do it. And then from a tax perspective, for a lot of IRAs, once you reach a certain age, you have to take money out. And it's called the required minimum distribution. So let's say you make $100,000 a year, but you're still getting, you know, money out of your IRA. Once you turn 73, under the new rules, it used to be 70 and a half, you would have to take money out of your IRA. Let's say that's $10,000. On your tax return, that would show up as $110,000. You made $100 and you pulled $10 from your IRA. If you give that $10 to charity, it still came out of your IRA, and that was your required minimum distribution, you're now still only taxed on $100. So for a lot of people who take their required minimum distribution in December, that's the period of time where they're making the decision of X. Another thing that plays into it a little bit is in January, you don't know what tax changes are gonna happen. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people will look at it and kind of wait all year. Well, what changes have been made? Should I do this, should I not? And then in December, they just pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Yep. And one of the encouraging things about the charitable giving that we were going through is, so last year, 2022, we did just shy of $500 billion in charitable giving as a country. What made me feel better is about 64% of that was from individuals. Okay. Now, they might be the Warren Buffetts of the world, but to me, that's really encouraging.
Right.
Well, and there was a big concern that charitable giving was going to really go away.
Yeah, decline.
Because of the tax changes where you can't, it's much harder to itemize now.
It is a lot harder.
But it is encouraging that we continue to see the needs of the world and where dollars can be put to work. And, you know, I will always be an advocate that local organizations, 501c3s, they know much better than the government how to use your money. And so if there's a cause that you support, find a way to support it. If there's a tax efficient way to do it, all the better.
I've been working a lot with giving stock donations and how you can save a lot on that even when you have those large cap gains from a non-IRA, you know, just from a non-qualified account.
I think it's really good too, what you just said, to kind of piggyback off that, you know, giving to a local charity, because they do, you know, they have kind of a pulse on the community with what's going on, what the immediate needs are. And I'm not saying don't give to a, you know, a national group. I'm not saying that at all, but I do know that there's a lot of benefit directly from our local groups, our local charities, and they usually are excellent stewards of, you know, directing that money where it needs to go. And you know, it's everything we try to do here in kind of the small town USA. You know, we're all trying to build up everyone and help everyone, because when everyone does better, we do better.
Well, and I think one of the reasons why I like local charities too is they find the things that fall through the cracks.
Yes.
And so not that cancer research doesn't deserve a ton of money, not that St. Jude doesn't, you know, your local animal shelter or your local homeless shelter, or your local whatever, those are needs they're not going to get met anywhere else. And
well, and it's not always, and it's not always the most flashy or kind of the most attractive things to be giving to, but it's some of the things that are oftentimes easily overlooked because it's not that. And those people desperately need those funds and that help to, you know, continue with the mission of what they're doing, but they don't have the budgets to spread the word or advertise, you know, because they're literally using every dollar that they get to try
and that's the thing,
you know, forward their mission.
So I've worked with a few of the charities in the area, and expenses are as low as they can possibly be.
Absolutely.
There is no way to get expenses down. So whenever we're discussing how to help out that charity, it almost always comes down to fundraising.
Right.
And, you know, like Peter was saying, it's great when we get the money at the end of the year. It would be nice if that was spread around a little bit. Or
it does make budgeting. You functionally end up become a year behind in what you're doing constantly.
Right. Or you're having to hope that you get the right amount of money at the end of the year, which isn't the best way to be.
Kiwanis Forever, you know, and Brian goes to Kiwanis for us now, but Forever did the Daryl Rice golf tournament.
Yep.
And we've been very fortunate that the sun has shone down upon that tournament, you know, every year that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have one of those fundraisers that's weather dependent, you could wipe out a year of things that you can do in the community, you know, very quickly, or at least significantly impact it.
And this is what we ran into with Kiwanis. It's the it was such a good way to raise money that other charities are now doing it too, and it's cannibalizing. So we're going to have to come up with something else also.
Right.
It's hard. And it's you know, there from an event standpoint and a money-raising standpoint, there's no way to really stop that because everyone's sharing best practices.
Oh, and it's
and
good because you want those other places to do well,
but
too.
It's, you know, it's tough whenever it's coming out of your pocket, you know, other people doing stuff, and it's kind of taken away from your cause and what you're doing.
That's why you just try to get people with good ideas and come up with the next good one.
We're going to run out of ideas eventually.
Nah.
We keep coming up with creative ways of doing it.
Yeah.
I don't mind spending a little bit more knowing something's going to charity. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I do. I'm going to sound bad for saying this. We've gotten very much, at least locally, and I'm sure it's nationwide too, the whole, like, at the cash register, do you want to add a dollar? Do you want to round up? Do you want to do those things? And small donations definitely help. But I struggle with that a little bit because it's kind of like, I don't know if you all have noticed this. There's also been a shift to, like, instead of writing your tip on the receipt, like, they'll ask you, what tip do you want to put on?
Well, yeah, and because
I
it's a lot.
I just don't like that feeling of being obligated to do it. I'd it rather do it.
It's because you're having to look at the person in the eyes that you're going, 5%. Or, you know,
yeah.
You have to, you almost feel obligated to
it's
do it.
Yeah, it's awkward. It's putting people on the
spot. They need to get rid
spot.
Of the tip system altogether and just pay people a reasonable amount and charge. Yeah.
Let's not.
I am fine with that. With a family of five that often eats out with six.
Yeah.
20%.
Yeah.
If the waiter or waitress gets the entire tip, they're making more per hour off my table than a lot of jobs for one meal, and they have multiple tables.
It is just me and Lacey. We went to Arby's, went to Arby's the other day. It was $25.
Yeah. So if you tipped 20%, that'd be $5 tip.
$5 tip.
Okay, so I have very strong opinions about tipping.
I think he finished off one of his beverages for this.
But we're reaching the tail end of the show, so this is what we'll do. We'll pocket this. We will come back fully rested and ready to argue about tipping. But for now, I think it would be kind of neat to have a little bit of a call to action. So I think anyone listening, if they have, if they have a local charity or a local nonprofit group that they work with, you know, email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. Let us know who that is. I'd like to look into them, and maybe we can, you know, get some folks on the podcast and talk a little bit more about what they're doing, especially now that we're entering, you know, the time of giving. And, Brian, after the statistics that you gave us, obviously it's time, it's ramped up. But I think it'd be really neat to do whatever we can to kind of spread the word locally about things that people are doing that might get overlooked.
We would love to spotlight people doing good things in the community, whether it's on our newsletter,
right,
whether it's in the podcast, however absolutely. We can.
That's really neat because, you know, I'm putting the newsletter together every month, and it's a healthy reminder for me, too, that we're really active with a lot of things. Like, we've got a lot going on. I've not had, we've only been doing a newsletter for 2 months now, but I've not ran into an issue of not having stuff to tell people about. I mean, if anything, especially this last one that's getting ready to go out, I ran out of room. I'm having to, like, condense things to try to squeeze it all in. So it's really neat, and we want to be able to share that stuff too. So yeah, if you have some groups that need to be spotlighted, we want to do that. Well, I really appreciate everyone listening. Again, email us at connect@afiadvisors.com if you have a group that wants to be spotlighted. Also, I want to make a really quick plug about our Lunch and Learn coming up January 16th. We are getting close to being full.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You never know. Awesome. It's kind of like with Dad. You don't know until you put that out. And I've been thrilled with the response.
Yeah, we're getting close to being full, but that's something we've wanted to do for a little while now, but we've just not had the capability of doing it. So very first one, we're going to see what happens. But if you'd like to come to that, just email us and let us know, RSVP, and we'll try our best to make some space for you. Spoiler alert, Mr. Munger will not be in attendance.
In spirit, he will be.
Yeah.
I know that's what he's going to be doing that day.
So sorry if I got anybody's hopes up. He will not be in attendance. But we hope to see everyone there. Go follow us on all of our social channels and check us out at afiadvisors.com. And we hope to catch you guys next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.
Like and subscribe.